Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 20, studying Matthew chapter 20. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. You will find two new books available at that page. First, the book, Receiving the Gift of Salvation. It does just what the title suggests. It teaches that God gives us salvation, but it also tells us how we receive that gift. Download it, read it, and you will be blessed. The second book, Surrendering to His Lordship, studies the Lordship of Jesus, meaning His authority. Many people claim to be Christ's, yet they fail to fully surrender to Him. Download the book, read it, and again, be blessed by it. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. That's text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org for a free, self-paced series of Bible courses, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Matthew 20. We take up just where we left off in our last broadcast. The parable of the kingdom of heaven as vineyard in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 and following, does not specifically identify either the main characters, the owner and the workers, or the spiritual meaning of the vineyard. Nor does it explain the meaning concerning the differences in time that the laborers spent, the wages they earned, or any other key element. The concern here? We do not see what we read in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus, in that immediate context, explained the meaning of two parables. First, the parable of the sower, and then second, the parable of the tares. We will find no "here's the meaning of this parable" explanation in the context of Matthew chapter 20. So, in order to grasp the meaning of this parable, we must study a larger frame of reference so that we can discern and then apply how the characters and the principles within the parable fit their real-world connections outside of the parable. In our outline and our overview, we set the stage for identifying those connections by raising these points for our further study. Who the landowner represented, who the workers represented, both the early workers, the workers hired through the middle of the day, and then the workers hired at the end of the day, the wages promised, what the wages represented for each set of workers hired, what the landowner delivered, how the landowner distributed their pay, and finally, the principles involved, the authority of the Father and the Son, the character of the Father and the Son, and the import of the opening and the closing first, last, and last first statements. Let's look at each of these elements. First, who the landowner represented. The First Testament frequently spotlights the physical blessings that God provided Israel as they exited Egypt, traversed the wilderness, and then especially as they entered and lived in the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 11, for example, lists some of those blessings. Houses full of all good things, which you did not fill. Hewn out wells, which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. Vineyards were one of many blessings that God graciously gave to Israel. Moreover, it was not just a physical blessing given by God to the nation, but also a spiritual metaphor that was intended to represent how they were to live, even how they were to treat others. Though the vineyards were a physical means to support and to feed themselves, Israel was also to use them as a means to aid others, like the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 21. There are many passages of vineyard as spiritual metaphor found throughout the Old Testament, but we concentrate on just one, Psalm chapter 80. That chapter glorifies God, and it reminds Israel of how God delivered and how God sustained them. In this context, God delivered Israel from Egypt, a familiar First Testament theme. But listen to the way the psalmist depicts God's salvation of Israel here. The passage reads, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land." That's Psalm 80, verses 7, 8, and 9. God, through the psalmist, described Israel as a vine, one that God brought out of Egypt and that God planted in Canaan. Later, the psalmist, still using the Israel as God's vine motif, said, "Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself." Psalm 80, verses 14 and 15. As you read through the First Testament scriptures, you will encounter many passages that start with the Israel as God's vine model. Isaiah used it in Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7, and in chapter 27, verses 2 and 3. So did Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 21, and Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 1 and following. That Israel as God's vineyard model not only appeared in the Old Testament, it appears in the New Testament. It appears in this text, Matthew chapter 20, and it also appears in other texts in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus presented two other related kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 21. The first one, rather short, appears in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. And the second one, substantially longer, can be found in Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. Each of those parables, as does this parable in Matthew 20, rests on the broader scriptural use of vineyards, as not just a part of God's creation, but as a special creation, a special plant, part of God's husbandry, God's divine cultivation of a spiritual people that were designed to connect to a root, an offshoot, a branch, and a remnant, all terms that refer to the coming Messiah, and how Israel would find fulfillment in Messiah. So, though this text, Matthew chapter 20, never specifically identifies God or Jesus as the landowner or vineyard owner, the overwhelming design of Scripture supports that identity. Second, who did the workers represent? If the nation of Israel as a whole was God's vineyard, then it only makes sense to point out that the Jews, both individually and collectively, were represented by the workers in the vineyard. That works generally, as it applies to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament scriptures, the vineyard parables often reference a specific subset of Jews as the workers in a given vineyard. That's evident from the two parables we will read and study in the following chapter, Matthew chapter 21. In that context, the two sons in the first parable identified two broad sets of Jews, those who first claim to do God's will but did not, and those who first refused to do God's will but then did. Jesus then identified the two sons as representing the religious leaders as the claimers but not the doers, and the tax collectors and the harlots as the refusers but then the doers. Though there was not a direct and specific "the seed is the word of God" analogy in this chapter, the context shows who the workers represented. Likewise, in the second parable in Matthew 21, Jesus told the religious leaders that the kingdom would be taken from them and given to another nation. Chapter 21, verse 43. Why? Because in this second parable, the religious leaders were depicted as if they were the persecutors of Old Testament prophets, and, at the end of the parable, those responsible for the death of the Messiah. Note just how that parable ends, with these words. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. Matthew 21, verse 45. In each case, we must let the context identify who the vineyard workers were. The key workers in this Matthew chapter 20 parable were the workers that were first hired. They were the focus of the parable. It was their expectations and their consternation about wages, paralleling their assumptions about inheriting the kingdom, that make the parable work as it does. It was their complaints that the landowner responded to. The landowner told those workers that they were, in fact, treated fairly. It was to those first hired workers that the landowner said he had the right to do what he wanted with what was his. The landowner called those workers evil. No substantive attention was given to the workers that were hired in the middle of the day. And those hired last, though they were paid first, and thus part of the first-last and last-first inclusio statements, they were not as central to the parable either. Consider next the wages promised. The wages promised reflected God's grace, what God gives to all, without reference to merit, to work, to earning, or to indebtedness. That God gives anything to anyone evinces His grace. We know, of course, that God does more than just give anything to anyone. God gives, God always gives, and God always gives abundantly. Consider what the landowner delivered. The landowner delivered exactly what he promised. No one was cheated except in their own thinking. And finally, consider the principles involved. First, the authority of the Father and the Son. The inherent authority principle, as it applied to Christ, was expressed in Matthew chapter 20, verse 15. It reads, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things?" We learn from Matthew's statement of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 that Christ was invested with all authority because he completely fulfilled the will of the Father. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 20. This reminder as we close, to enroll in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.